Last Sunday evening, there must have not been anything sport-related on television because we decided that we would watch a movie, which only happens when there's no sport on TV in our house. And as per usual, there was a discussion between David and I, our son Josiah. He was upstairs. Dave and I appreciate different genres of movies and of music, actually, as well, but different genres of movies. And so we settled, or perhaps he settled, because I chose to watch this movie titled What's Love Got to Do with It? Nothing to do with Tina Turner, if you know the song, What's Love Got to Do with It? But rather it tells a story of Zoe, who you can see there on the screen, who's a documentary filmmaker who uses a dating app to try and find the right guy, you know, and she only ever finds all the wrong guys. And then her childhood neighbour, whose name is Kaz, decides that the answer to finding love is to follow his parents' example and opt for an arranged, or what is called in this movie, an assisted marriage. And it's a marriage to a bright and beautiful bride from Pakistan. And Zoe decides, because she's a, you know, a documentary filmmaker, that she would film his hopeful journey to marry a stranger. And while doing this, she begins to wonder if she might have something to learn from a profoundly different approach to finding love. And you can probably guess what happens from this image and the synopsis, and also it's a romantic comedy, so everybody knows the ending of every romantic comedy that ever happens. But I've been thinking about this movie because it was a little bit different to what perhaps we would normally expect in a romantic comedy. But there is this one quote in it that kind of caught my attention that says, you don't have to start with love. You end with love, you know. And over time, you grow to love the person. I thought this is an interesting way of thinking about loving people. And perhaps it caught my attention because today I knew that I would be introducing this new series titled Live Like Jesus. Obviously based on Jesus' life and his teaching, but also connected into the Salvation Army's vision statement that says, wherever there is hardship or injustice, Salvos will live, love and fight alongside others to transform Australia one life at a time with the love of Jesus. And while the quote may say, you don't have to start with love, you end with it, which is how the vision statement is. It ends with the love of Jesus. Today, just to confuse you, I'm going to start with the love of Jesus. And we heard just a few moments ago from John chapter 15, and Kathy read to us these words that actually form some of the final words of Jesus' teaching when he was in ministry here on earth, teaching to the disciples. You know, Jesus, over his course of the 3 years that he was here, taught them so much, he'd shown them so much. And here he goes right back to basics, if we want to call it that, because he says, my command is this, love each other. And Jesus spoke these words, as I said, at the end of his earthly ministry years. What, of course, is crucial to the whole thing is that his mission, his birth, his time here on earth, it all commenced with love. His life was bookended, if you like, with the love of God. God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world. And then Jesus' love for us when he went to the cross, and God's power when he showed love for us in the resurrection of Jesus. So love each other, Jesus says. Quite straight to the point, not overly complicated, or is it? But not always easy to do. But that's not all that this command says. For the full verse says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. When we declare that we're Christians, we identify with Christianity. We're saying that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that we know that he died and he rose to life for us. We're committing to live like him, to follow his teachings, and this includes loving others as Jesus commanded. Now, I'm sure that we have all experienced or interacted with at least one person whom we have found difficult to love. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, so you're safe, okay? But you know that loving others is not all that easy, but it is not optional. This is a command, it says. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. But our love for others is actually derived from God's love for us. We love others because of God's love and because he has made us his children. Of course, this is not the first time that Jesus talks about loving others, and it's definitely not new information. It features very strongly in the great commandment that Jesus gives in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 22 when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. These words form part of the Old Testament law, and so even for Jesus, the idea of loving others is not new. But in these verses, in John 15, Jesus takes it to a new level when he says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, I'm not sure that many of us will ever have the opportunity, be given the challenge, to lay down our life for a friend. And it would be an enormous challenge if we had to be faced with such a situation. However, there are many times that we are required to love others sacrificially, where our love requires us to give up something for the sake of others. Well, on Friday afternoon, I actually conducted a funeral of a lady that I did not know. It was a slightly unusual situation, and I was actually sitting in the car in the car park on Monday afternoon when I got a call asking if I could connect with this family. And I felt that I needed to go and see them. So I was given the phone number of the son of the lady who'd passed away. And so I called and I arranged to go and see them on Tuesday evening. And upon arrival at the home, I discovered that they were a beautiful Fijian Indian family who have a family bond and love that was just so lovely to sit with and to encounter. It was very special being able to sit with this family. And after the service on Friday afternoon, I shared afternoon tea with them and I chatted to the extended family. Some of them I'd met on Tuesday evening because they were at the home, but there were cousins and aunties particularly that I was talking to. And all of them spoke about the son who's in his late 30s, who had cared for his mum over the last couple of years of her life, juggling work as well as being her carer. Her health situation had escalated quite quickly, and so he gave up a lot. And one of his cousins, when talking about the son, he said to me, he has put his life on hold and virtually given up everything. Such was his love for his mum. Sacrificial love. And the cousin who was talking then went on and he said, I don't know if I could do that if I was faced with the same situation, which I thought was an interesting reflection. We may not be called to lay down our life for someone, but metaphorically we may need to do that. We're commanded to love each other as Jesus has loved us, willing to lay down his life. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we are called or we're sent into the world to live in such a way that shows this love to others. This means showing love to people that we don't know. There were no conditions on Jesus' love. and neither should there be on ours. But as I've said, I know, as well as you do, that sometimes people can be difficult, difficult to love. And Jesus knew that too. He knew that people sometimes were against him. We considered even last week, if you were here, if you watched online, we were talking about how Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. And just the opposition and the criticism that he experienced from the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But the reality is that Jesus died for them just as he died for you and me. He showed them love just as he loves us. But you may be sitting there this morning thinking, Kylie, you have no idea about some of the people that I have to encounter or endure or put up with each and every day. And it's true. I don't know those people who are in your lives. But I know my people, the people who are in my life. Some of them that I interact with can be very challenging. But here's the thing. God's love for us gives us the power to love others. In 1 John 4, we read, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Love comes from God. God gives us the power and the strength that we need to love others. A little further on in this chapter, in verse 19 of 1 John 4, it says, "We love because he first loved us." That's why we love. But this power that God gives us to love others, it's not a brute strength. Wouldn't it be great if it was just like something you could switch on? I need the more power to love right now, God. Help me do that. But the ability to love others comes from accepting God's love for us and the willingness to have our hearts changed so that we have the capacity to love like Jesus. We can't do it without the help of God. Years ago, I was given some excellent advice about loving people who may be challenging, who may be different, or who would just, you know, get on your nerves. And this advice was given to me by an older and much wiser person was this: pray for them. Quite simple. In her mind, the lady who was telling me this, you just pray for them. To which I replied, "But they've done this and they haven't done that. And what are they thinking? Are they even thinking? Do they have the capacity to think about this? You don't understand." And she said, "It doesn't matter. Just pray for them." Well, I had to put this into practice just a few weeks ago with no one here, you'll be pleased to know, because I was quite riled up by someone. In fact, I was so riled up, and it probably speaks to a little bit of my personality, that I had to like kind of clench my teeth to stop myself from speaking, to saying something that I was going to regret. I'm not sure that none of you have ever had this, right? Never experienced this. And I didn't want these words to come out of my mouth that was my internal dialogue. And then all of a sudden, almost like a freight train, these words came into my head: "You just have to pray for them. Pray for the person who's standing in front of you right now, like causing you a bit of tension." But also I was reminded that the other part of this advice is that when you are praying for them, you also pray for yourself, that your heart would be changed towards them. Because Do you know how hard it is to pray for someone when you are feeling no love and when you are feeling anger and frustration? And in that instance, my mindset began to change and I started to think things like, oh, Kylie, you have no idea what's going on for this person right now. You don't know their situation. You don't know what could have happened to them this morning. You don't know about their family and their personal relationships. You don't know if they're under extreme financial pressure. And do you know what? You don't need to know. You just need to pray for them. But it isn't simply something that we just have to do. Loving others is actually a way of living and a way of being. Before our love can truly extend to someone else, it must actually be a personal heart response to the love that God has for us, which is why I think those words of just pray for them are so powerful. Because God's calling on us, his command for us to love others, means more than just ticking a box. It's not as simple as giving somebody a gift or saying something lovely and encouraging to a person. Well, yes, these are great things. But if our attitude and our posture towards others, both inside and outside of the church, is not loving, then it's not of God. I have to say that even just yesterday when I was going over my notes for today, I was hesitant in sharing this next verse, because it seems quite harsh. But all the verses make up the entire Bible. And so this is what we read in 1 John 3, verse 10. It says, "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister." If you do not love your brothers and sisters, then you are not a child of God. Loving others is a way for us to live as his children. I thought that I would share some good news from that particular chapter of the Bible, though, because this is one of my favourite verses in Scripture, from 1 John chapter 3. So just before we are told that if we don't love, then we're not a child of God, it says this: "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. God lavishes his love on us, calls us his children, and the fruit, the outward appearance of that, is that we would love other people. How do we know that we are the children of God? By the way that we act and the way that we love others. It's not simply about ticking a box, getting it off our to-do list. It's not about saying something nice to people every week on a Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. This is about sacrificial love. Perhaps it needs to cost us something. Perhaps it'll put us out of our comfort zone. Perhaps it means praying for someone that you are struggling with, somebody who makes you want to clench your teeth so that you don't speak. Perhaps it means accepting the love of Jesus and becoming his child. It may even mean asking God for a greater capacity, a bigger heart of love for others, a greater power to love. So what is it that you need to do every day to live with the love of Jesus? And what is it that you need to do every day to share this love of Jesus with others? And I pray, it says in Ephesians 3, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ.